This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extensionmarketing.com. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
Thanks, Andrew, for taking the time today to come on the show. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate the invite.
Andrew, why don't we start off, tell our listeners a bit about yourself.
Fair enough. So I am, 41 years old. I've got a daughter who is my pride and joy. I've got a lovely fiance. And, you know, with that, I've got the other baby, which is the business. And that keeps me pretty busy these days.
And what is the business, Andrew?
So my business is the service of providing safe electrical. I'm an electrical contractor.
And are you focused primarily on residential, commercial, or both?
So I have been, call it what it is, blessed with having the privilege of having a wide past of experiences. I started the trade in residential, transitioned to commercial as a worker. Then I did a lot of heavy industrial. I saw things that people will never see between power dams, mines, refineries, smelters, and then working out of the country as well. So that's led me now to have a nice spread of both residential and commercial that I do quite well.
Whereabouts when you said out of country, what other countries were you in?
I was lucky enough to go to Bermuda. So it was a great time. I would literally, I would work in the day on their police station or the courthouse. And then at night I would be, off doing, fishing or scuba diving.
And you came back? That's the miraculous part.
Well, they eventually you got to come back. I had a life over here at the time too, so I did come back.
Well, with the winter we just had, I'm sure we could all enjoy a job out in the Bahamas. That'd be great.
It was pretty sweet.
And Andrew, how old is the business?
So I am actually approaching 10 years as of May 1st. I'll be in business for 10 years on my own.
Wow, congratulations. What was the impetus? What was your journey like to start your own business?
My journey started off, well, I started the trade when I was 16 years old. And it's not an easy trade. I'll tell anybody right now, getting into the trades, especially back then, the workplace didn't have as many labor laws about how you could talk to your employees. So call it what it is. I spent a lot of time in the trenches getting to know my craft. And when I finally got to the time where I wrote my journeyman's license, I'd already seen a fair bit. And that brings us to about, I guess, maybe 5-10 years later, I then wrote my master's. Here I am trying to do math on my feet. But I wrote my master's when I was 31. So about 7 or 8 years after getting my journeyman's ticket, I became a master electrician. And the reason for that was quite simply, I got to a point where I recognized my strengths. I recognized that, call it what it is, there's a lot of great in the trade, and there's also a lot of people that aren't exactly the easiest to work with, I guess you could say. And with that comes you lose your talent, basically. You lose your ability to shine, because there's always somebody that wants to take you down in the trade sometimes. Obviously, not every site is like that, but it can be like that. So that was my, basically, where I said, you know what, enough's enough. You know, I've been doing this. I'm good at what I do. I had enough confidence, and I also had a business partner, or someone willing to be my business partner at the time, who stepped in and said, you know, we can do this together. And so I said, you know what, let's make a go of this. And here we are.
Did you always have that kind of entrepreneurial spirit in you, Andrew, or is this something that just almost came out of you? Yeah.
I did. I was the kid that at 6 and 7 years old, my parents, I would be out there shoveling driveways for $10 a driveway, knowing that if it's double driveway, I better charge at least 2.5 times the price. That was me. I had my lemonade stand in the summertime as well. And, you know, had my father, who was also very entrepreneurial minded, saying, you know what, while you're selling lemonade, get them for something else. You better sell some cookies at a high profit as well. And it worked. So yes, I've had that entrepreneurial spirit for quite some time.
And what was it like with a business partner at the beginning like that? So that's an interesting journey. A lot of people go into it either as a solopreneur and get their feet wet. And some people do have a partnership right away. But for our listeners that may not be familiar with that model, maybe you can walk us through that a little bit.
Certainly. So call it what it is. I mean, every business venture, especially with a business partner, starts off on a, great foot, so to speak. No one gets into a partnership with, or marriage for that matter, with the intention of divorce. Obviously, as people work together, as I work together with my partner, there were some key differences that came out. And just, our lives didn't quite align with how the business was growing. So it led us to basically an impasse where things dissolved. Always have, if you can afford to do so at the time, 20 hindsight is 20/20, but if you can afford to do so, make sure you have a contract that is very well written and drawn up by both your lawyers, because at the end of the day, if it's one or the other, there will always be a bias. So make sure your contracts are very well 50-50 split in the event of the company dissolving.
Good advice. So, I don't want to get into all the details about that, but how long have you been on your own? Let's focus on that.
Fair enough. I've been on my own for about 8 years now. So 8 years of doing this, I've seen a few things.
Was it a big adjustment for you to going from having someone you could talk to and and bounce things off of to all of a sudden being on your own? Or was the partnership at that point you were just going on your own and happy to do that?
So the partnership, it really didn't make much of a difference. What I really lost was my, I guess, assurance that my pricing was okay at the time. It kind of caused me to have a little bit of anxiety when pricing things. And so where I left that off with, I quickly picked up through BNI actually. I was able to meet a lot of people that really reinstilled that confidence for me.
Andrew, have you had any mentors or coaches along the way?
I have had a few along the way. Usually they're very impromptu. What I can say is, you birds of a feather flock together, and you're the summary of your top five friends, right? So if you hang around with people that are very wishy-washy about their business model, or they're having a hard time, and you continue to surround yourself with those people, you will become one of those people. So it's very important to stay on top of that in your head game and constantly look for resources that are outside of that circle to, continue propelling yourself forward.
It's a fine line, isn't it, Andrew, when you're talking to other entrepreneurs and you want to show empathy if they're struggling, but at the same token, it can become a negative environment pretty fast if you're not too careful.
Very much so. Very much so. I can attest to that.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about BNI. Are you still involved with that, or is that more at the beginning of your journey?
So I am still involved with BNI actually. I've taken on many roles over the past 8 years. I just actually renewed again. It's been fantastic. It has given me my return over on income or investment rather has been in the hundreds for what I've invested. So it's been very worthwhile for many reasons. It's given me a lot of confidence in speaking. It's given me a lot of confidence in my, I guess, my actual craft as well, because when you hear the testimonials and you say, yeah, I did that for so and so, and they're just beaming about how great a job that Lit Electric did. It, those aren't me putting the words into somebody else's mouth. Those are their words. So again, it gives you that confidence to again build and continue forward. And then finally, I guess the other great part about BNI is that everybody there is business minded. And what you learn is that everybody's business, as much as they might be very different from yours, there are a lot of key fundamental problems that we all share as business owners, whether it's CRAs, non-payers, contracts, all everybody has these same problems, and so it helps you at the very least, even though it may not be, they may not be the exact same business as you, you're able to say, hey, I can work with that and make something your own.
What skills did you have to learn on the business side of things when you went out on your own? You know, for I'm guessing probably 5, 6 years you were, you know, working for other people, maybe a little bit longer. Actually significantly longer, correct? Were you working for other people for more than 10? Am I doing the math right here?
So I was working for other people for about 12 years total.
Okay, gotcha.
By the time all is said and done, I'll have been in license for sorry, I'll have been an electrician for 24 years.
Okay.
So,
So was there anything you had to learn in order to go out on your own, in, like, you know, on the finance side of things, perhaps, or on the sales side, marketing side? Well, what was that like for you? Did you already have a pretty good handle on that?
Very good question. So you learn the value of don't just trust anybody with your books. I recognize where my shortcomings are. I learned very on because I used to spend hours trying to do my books, and I said, you know what, I can't do this. But then I hired, I had one or two, call it what it is, bad bookkeepers. They came through a friend who was also in business, but again, important for you to do your own homework. So I learned just not to trust anybody with books, finances, stuff like that, because it will cost you, or me in this case. As well with that, I try not to spend time doing things that I don't like to do, because I find that really gums up the process. If you have a task that, and it's like one of those tasks that, you know, you procrastinate over. If you can't do it yourself and get it done, you know, get moving on in about 5 minutes to get the process started, then you really need to reevaluate how you're going to tackle that task, because you'll find everything else in your business will suffer absolutely. So I think those have been the key things that I've really had to hone in on, short of just, again, liability, keeping track of insurance and staying on top of everything, because in my business especially, liability is everything, and without documentation, there are issues that can arise.
Andrew, how do you carve out time on a regular basis to do planning and work on the business as opposed to in the business?
Well, what I've noticed is that my business, to some degree, can be very cyclical. Not always, but there are certain times a year, especially where you have some downtime. And I've learned to, instead of saying I'll do that tomorrow when it comes time to doing the business development and whatever, that you take advantage of the time. You say, I probably won't have this time tomorrow. I need to do that now. You also learn things like the menial tasks, like cleaning a van, staying organized, will cost you both in time and material, again, because if you decide you're going to drive across town to pick up something that, you know, you just can't find in your van, that's costing you. So those are probably the biggest things I've really had to learn, and I guess really just accept that they're both my weaknesses, and at the same time, they are the things that I'm conquering also. So that's the best way to explain how I carve out my time,
It's a
you
fine
know?
line, though, isn't it, Andrew? You know, yes, we have to focus. We have to be aware of our finances and focus on the things that we're weak at. But at the same token, if it's really not our strengths, at some point, I think we have to rely on outside people to help. But you can't,
Yes.
you mentioned earlier about a couple of bad bookkeepers. I'm not too sure how to say this, but maybe not, you know, you still have to be on top of things, even if they're doing it for you. You can't just assume it's being done to your level of satisfaction. Is that fair to say?
It absolutely. There's a lot of hands-on when it comes to bookkeeping. A lot of, call it what it is, there's a lot of different levels of expertise, and just not everybody knows, I guess, the best way in the bookkeeping world how to do their craft, right? There are also some that are so meticulous that they fail to also recognize that businesses are a business in their own, and they need to grow, make mistakes, do their own, you know, have their things where it's like, yes, call it what it is. Like there's a, if we need to, we have an invoice that's missing, you know, how are we going to handle this missing invoice? You know, where did that payment come from? And you need to be able to work with them to pivot, whereas some bookkeepers are just like, no, you need X, Y, Z. And realistically, that'd be great. I'd love to give you that information. Not to say that, you know, that this is a frequent occurrence. It's only ever happened once, but it did happen, and it made me realize there is differences in bookkeepers. So the key is to find a balance for them as well.
Andrew, let's switch gears a little bit and focus on our two major questions that we ask on every podcast. So, what advice would you give a listener that's currently owns a business but maybe struggling a little bit?
All right. So, sorry, could you repeat the last part?
Yeah, just someone who owns a business currently, but that may be struggling. As
Okay.
entrepreneurs, we all have our struggles.
Fair enough. So I think the key to if you're struggling is to really understand where you're struggling first and foremost. Take some time. I get that it can be pretty ugly to look in the mirror sometimes. We have to be, as business owners, capable of acknowledging that it's our fault. You know, there are things that are not our fault, but there we have choices that we need to make. And I think the first thing is being accountable to ourselves, to say that, hey, this is what, you know, this is the problem. I created this. How can I fix this? Largely, it also comes down to people that are overspending in their business, and just not being tight enough with their finances. And I think that is also, you know, if you're hemorrhaging money, you're going to find yourself out of business very quickly if you don't quickly cut that back, you know. So I think that's probably the best piece of advice I can get is to or give rather is to really just objectively look back at your business and see, you know, where things are going. And finally, as well, don't be afraid to ask for help. That is a big one. Ask, you know, yeah, ask your competitors even. Like if you have competitors, sometimes that's a great place to start, because depending on how closely you're actually related in your business, and sometimes you might even be the exact same business, but my mindset is that I have competitors who I will always, they're also friends of mine. We went to trade school together, but I will help them also because I want to see them succeed, because it's better than my enemies getting the business. You know, I'd rather help, and vice versa, right? It does pay dividends. So I think that's important to recognize too, is that, you know, competitors are competitors, yes, but they can also be your friends. They can be your greatest asset as well in helping you get over some of the challenges that you're facing and that are stunting your business growth.
Andrew, you mentioned you use the word be objective. I think it's a challenge for a lot of entrepreneurs to be objective because by nature we're optimists, and sometimes to a fault. Would you agree with that? Do you find that in your circle of entrepreneurs?
I would agree with that. I think the thing with being, I guess, you kind of caught me off guard with this one. I think the thing about being objective is it goes right back to what I said. You're in business, right? No one's going to hold your hand for you, and you're foolish to think that way. If that's how you think, so I think you really need to look in the mirror and really identify. Again, your shortcomings. The shortcomings are, you know, but don't be afraid to pat yourself on the back for your wins as well. And if, I don't know, can I give one more piece of advice that I've recently
Course,
discovered?
of course.
I will say, in talking about competitors, again, when you say be objective, everything in business you have to be objective about. That includes your advice from your competitors. And the reason I share this is because I recently had a meeting with one of them, and you know, he kind of gave me the call me call what it is, gave me the gears on a few things. I felt very humbled, very a little bit downtrodden, you know, licking my tail a little, or you know, licking my wounds a little bit rather. And I said, "You're right, you know, like all these things." I dwelled on that for probably a good week. Yeah, about a good week. And what I realized afterwards, it was my dad that kind of pointed out to me. He says, you know, where things were 10 years ago are not where you are now. And look at what you've overcome. Look at all the fact that, you know, you've overcome so many challenges and obstacles where there are so many businesses that are failing in this day and age. So I think, again, going back with being objective about yourself, you also need to be objective about truly where you are, what the overall climate is that surrounds your business, and that'll help you navigate out of that hardship that you're currently facing.
That's great advice. Thanks for sharing that. Last question, Andrew. Advice you'd give to someone that's listening, that's, has been thinking of starting a business maybe for quite some time and just can't seem to just cross over that line.
There really is no easy way to put it other than you have to believe in yourself, first and foremost. Believe in yourself, surround yourself with the people that are educated and they're not going to patronize you. They'll tell you, yeah, this is great. This is your the shortcomings in your plan. Basically, they'll give you honest feedback. But don't simply listen to the naysayers, because there will always be those people. And a lot of times you'll find that the people that are the naysayers, the ones that really poop on your idea, are the people that they miss their dreams, I guess, for one reason or another. Their dreams didn't necessarily come to fruition. So it's a lot easier than to pull your dreams down. And I see that happen quite a bit. I've experienced it a bit. Basically, like I say, keep your head down, believe in yourself, believe in your idea, surround yourself with the people that actually want you to, thrive and go to the stars is all I can say.
Again, great advice. Andrew, believe it or not, we're out of time. But before we let you go, where can our listeners find out more about your services?
So you can find me online at www.litelectric.ca, or give me a shout at 613-323-6091, and I would be happy to help with any electrical issues you may have. And if it's related to this podcast, well, put a note on my website field saying that you're in need of some help, and I'll be happy to help where I can. Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, Andrew. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you, Pat. Appreciate the invite and the opportunity.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extensionmarketing.com and book a discovery call today.